This is Toby Sumter with your CrossPolitik Daily News Brief for Tuesday, August 18th, 2020. Today you'll hear about Trump going postal. Is that new? Dead people are voting again. Fortnite goes to war with Apple and Google. Facebook sometimes sends Democrats to timeout. And Ted Cruz has thoughts about the U.S. dealings with Iran. First up, the Democratic National Convention started Monday, packed full of disgruntled Republicans, or at least former presidential hopeful John Kasich. The originally scheduled Milwaukee convention has been transformed into a virtual convention with speeches being delivered from various locations across the country. In addition to former Republican presidential candidate John Kasich, Michelle Obama, and former Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders would have the microphone Monday night. You might be wondering what all the fuss in the news about the U.S. Postal Service is about. I've seen headlines for several days. Former President Barack Obama recently accused President Trump of trying to, quote, actively kneecap the Postal Service. I mean, kneecap them? In an effort to suppress mail-in voting. For some reason, many Democrats have been particularly giddy about the idea of mass mail-in voting. Why would they be so excited about this? I don't know. I can't imagine. And please note, this is not the same thing as absentee voting, where an eligible voter requests a ballot because they won't be able to make it in to the voting station on voting day. And a registered ballot is then sent to the registered voter and you send it in. That sort of thing has been done routinely for many, many years. But the idea that every eligible voter might just receive a ballot to mail in is quite different. Like, you know, just mass ballots going out. What could go wrong? I think it raises a number of legitimate questions. Like, for example, how do we know if the ballot returned was returned by the right person? How do we know that person has not moved, voted twice, or is maybe even dead? Meanwhile, the U.S. Postal Service has lost $78 billion since 2007. It is not exactly, how shall we put it, in tip-top shape. Since the advent of email, the need for letters has, well, dropped dramatically. And then comes the Corona Panic of 2020. In the $2 trillion CARES Act, yes, that's $2 trillion, remember, Congress gave the Postal Service permission to borrow up to $10 billion to help cover their shortfalls. Completely separately, $400 million was included in it for the Election Assistance Commission. Later, the House barely passed another coronavirus bill called HEROES Act, which, of course, is an acronym that I'm not going to tell you what it stands for, but that's never seen the light of day in the Senate. So the House passed it, and the Senate has pretended it doesn't exist. That bill earmarked $25 billion, that's an additional $25 billion, as a full bailout gift to the Postal Service. Likewise, in the HEROES Act, a few million was also earmarked again for an election assistance fund. But again, the HEROES Act got stuck in congressional limbo after the House passed it, the Senate completely ignoring its existence. But the U.S. Postmaster, meanwhile, has been busy doing his job. His name is Louis DeJoy, a major Republican donor and Trump supporter, yes, but he started implementing changes to help the ailing Postal Service, including two particular pilot programs. The first is to implement what's being called the Expedited Street Afternoon Sortation Plan, in order to cut down on overtime hours being paid. Basically, instead of spending the mornings sorting mail and getting organized and then going out and delivering in the afternoons and sometimes ending up out late and then getting paid overtime, this program reverses the order. You come in, you grab your mail, and you go deliver it first, and then you come back to the office, you go back to the post office, and you do your sorting at the end of the day, and then you head out at 5 o'clock or whenever you're off. Anyways, it's supposed to cut down on overtime hours. The second is the removal of underutilized collection boxes and letter sorter machines. With the decline in sending letters, the collection boxes and letter sorter machines just aren't being used as much. They cost money to maintain, and sorter machines in particular take up a lot of space in post office. So the idea was, let's get them out of the way, let's be more efficient. Well, all of this is the backstory on the giddy Democrats wanting universal mail-in voting for the presidential election, while Trump and other Republicans have raised doubts and concerns. And then there's the postmaster doing his job and a stimulus bill held up in Congress. Oh, and one more thing. In a couple of interviews, Trump has apparently conflated all the money in the stimulus bills as related to funding mail-in voting. Thus, Trump sort of shot himself in the foot, adding to the blood in the water for the Democrats. Trump is removing letter collection boxes. He's removing letter sorter machines, and he won't approve the stimulus money for the post office. Clearly, he's preparing to destroy the ability of people to vote by mail. Well, he might be bungling some of the questions, and at points seems to be conflating universal voting with absentee voting, but the post office has delivered hundreds of millions of pieces of mail every year, including a bunch of stimulus checks just a couple of months ago, and despite the random mistakes that are made from time to time, this looks like a lefty conspiracy theory to me. White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows said on CNN Sunday that the removals of the collection boxes and letter sorting machines would be halted until after the election, just so everybody can stop hyperventilating. He also clarified that the president doesn't have a problem with anybody voting by mail with an absentee ballot, but he opposes universal mail-in ballots. Meanwhile, Michigan has announced that 10,694 of the state's 1.6 million absentee ballots for their August 4th primary have been rejected. 10,694 of the absentee ballots have been rejected. Many thousands were rejected for arriving late and without signatures, but 846 of the ballots received were rejected because the voter was dead. Dead people and pets were among the nearly 500,000 rejected absentee ballots in Virginia, while another quarter of a million met the same fate in Nevada's June primary. However, Kanye West's lawyer is going on the offensive, saying that Democrats will have to prove that Mickey Mouse and Bernie Sanders' signatures on his Wisconsin ballot petition are not real. All of this is why we need weapons for this war, and why I want to invite you to our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference. It's going to be in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st to the 3rd. We've put together a package that is full of feasting and psalm singing, hearty fellowship, a lineup of speakers committed to showing you how God's word applies to all of life, including Dr. George Grant, Pastor Douglas Wilson, Dr. Glenn Sunshine, myself, and others. We're going to dig deep, so please join us October 1st to the 3rd as we build a rowdy Christian culture for God's glory and our good. Go to fightlaughfeast.com and register today. Apple and Google are in battle royale with Fortnite. No, seriously, Apple and Google both booted the blockbuster video game Fortnite from their app stores last Thursday after its mother company, Epic Games, launched a new in-game payment system that bypassed both App Store's payment rules. So basically, Epic Games was like, hey, we're just going to do this. The company's founder, Tim Sweeney, who invented the company, by the way, in his parents' basement, has been complaining about the 30% commissions charged by the App Stores for years. So this is not exactly a surprise. And as soon as his game was kicked off the App Stores, I mean, almost simultaneously, Epic Games had quickly filed two lawsuits in federal courts following that ejection, accusing both platforms of monopolistic behavior, charging such high commissions that make it difficult for competitors to emerge. I think the lawsuits are frivolous. I think it's most likely there's nothing there. I mean, we want a free market, but regardless, clearly he was planning this. The Apple CEO, Tim Cook, was questioned last month during congressional antitrust hearings about whether the company treats app developers equally, citing some lower commissions for app store sales from Amazon.com, for example. But, you know, who knows? Facebook sometimes disciplines Democrats. Did you know that? The Washington State Democratic Party Facebook page got the temporary church discipline ban for about a month during June, and they are crying about it still. This is in the Wall Street Journal. Facebook has apparently crafted its own policy for political ads, independent of Washington State's own ad disclosure rules. The audacity of a private company crafting its own policies. Anyways, as usual, the social media giant refused to answer questions about what part of the policy the Washington Democrats had violated. But the Washington Democrats cut themselves and danced around the altar for several days, And then the gods answered. They did not answer with fire, but they did answer with a couple of examples of ads that they considered blasphemous. Ted Cruz raises alarms over Obama-era nuclear deal. Ted Cruz writes in Newsweek that perhaps the most pernicious part of the Obama-Biden nuclear deal with Iran was the provision that would allow Iran to begin purchasing billions of dollars of conventional weapons from countries like China and Russia. Senator Cruz writes in an op-ed in Newsweek to raise the alarm that it turns out those deals are already in motion. I mean, why is it, though, that they want to take guns away from Americans, but they're willing to give guns to Muslim terrorists? This is Toby Sumter with CrossPolitik News. You can find this in all our shows at CrossPolitik.com or on our app, which you can download at your favorite app store. That is until we go to war with Google and Apple. For now, search Fight, Laugh, Feast in your favorite app store. Download the app. It's the only way to get in the bullpen with Mark Dewey, who continues to hit it out of the park. Support Rowdy Christian Media and become a Fight, Laugh, Feast club member. You know you want to do it. Not only do you get a free t-shirt that says Fight, Laugh, Feast, and just, you know, and your cool factor just goes through the roof, you also get access to tons of extended discussions that we've had with people like Sho Baraka, David French, Douglas Wilson, Eric Erickson, C.R. Wiley, George Grant, Maj Touré, Biblical Parenting, God and Government, Christian Counseling. I mean, there's just a pile of stuff back there. Anyways, you also get $100 off the registration for our conference, the first annual Fight, Laugh, Feast conference, where we hope to meet many of you in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st through the 3rd. So if you're not a member yet, become a member, then get your $100 off. Just email Gabe, the water boy. He'll send you your discount code. You plug it in, get $100 off. See us in Nashville. Anyways, have a great day.